Fourth and 10. Baker Mayfield to throw. Under pressure. His pass is intercepted. C.J. Mosley picks it off. Mosley with the interception. The Hayes in the barn. And the Ravens are in the playoffs.
David. Football. Football David. The Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on Apple Podcasts and at NFL.com/DDFP. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Happy New Year? Question mark?
Happy for some folks.
Sorry. 12 fan bases out there happy. The rest, very sad. Very sad, but some saw it coming, others did not. The voice you hear right now is in the latter column. I did not expect to reach January without the promise of playoff delight, intensity, and so on, because C.J. Mosley and company dispatched the Cleveland Browns to round out Week 17 just about. Then the Colts took care of the Titans. They filled the last available playoff spot. And there you go. Hi and hello and Happy New Year, I guess. And welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program, presented as always by Head & Shoulders. Hope you enjoyed Week 17. Hope you enjoyed the regular season because, like I say, 20 fan bases will not be seeing their pro football heroes until three seasons from now, not till autumn.
We're
2019.
We're gonna get some silver linings for you today, Dave.
You think so?
Yeah. It's about turning things around. It's a
silver
new year.
Lining playbook. Hey, seated to my immediate left, you hear his voice right there. He is one of the hosts of Up to the Minute. You see him all over the place, hosting the Facebook show. I forget which one, the Canada one.
It is international now.
International one.
Canada. Now we are worldwide.
And for my money, I know there's a big debate here at NFL Media, but for my money, the reigning champion is the most handsome man with whom I work. It's Patrick Claibon. What's the poop, fella? Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you, dude.
And happy holidays. How'd the Christmas holiday go down in your crib?
I didn't disappoint anybody.
No? Nope.
That's a huge, huge win for me. There was not a frown at any point.
Did you get eggnog drunk or anything?
I did not get eggnog drunk. As a child, I used to crush eggnog.
Me too. I
not
just
with
was
the alcohol
talking.
In it. Just the can with the ribs.
Uh huh.
It's a ribbed can.
Yeah.
And it would just stay in the refrigerator and it'll be nasty.
That's for your pleasure. They do that. Yep. They the eggnog. I was just talking about this. And by the way, we did an emergency one after the Steelers missed out on the playoffs. An emergency Daves of Thunder podcast was called for, and the BTLs and Monkeys responded. I didn't want to be alone, and so they helped me out. We took some calls, and so listen to that. But eggnog came up. I don't know why I turned my back on this. This is what the brain, the human mind, can do to itself. Is, you know, I remember Quinn Buckner once when he was the Dallas Mavericks coach, and I found this to be great life advice. He said, and it's hard to fathom, but he said, you have to control your mind. You can't let your mind control you. You know, I find that fascinating. That's who you talk to in your head.
Yeah, I chew on it.
Your mind is somehow distinct from the rest of you.
It's like the id, ego, and super ego.
Something like that.
Some sort of.
But somehow my mind convinced me that I was off eggnog with no evidence. I didn't have bad eggnog or anything to make me think I didn't like eggnog, but I didn't have it for 30 years. And then I took a sip of it a couple days ago, and I was like, wow, back on eggnog.
Welcome back, Dave.
It's delicious. It's like a milkshake.
It's been a while for me. It's a little heavy.
It's very heavy.
But
there's no question about that.
I like to have a blender involved if I'm going to drink something that with that sort of heft.
Somehow for me, again, talk about what the mind can do to you. I decided like, okay, so I'm getting plump. I think we can all see that. Anyone with two eyes or even one can identify that Dave is a little heavy set these days.
No.
A man of my carriage doesn't deserve to have a camera pointed in his direction.
Dave's not fat.
And then I decide, okay, 2019, we'll fix this up.
Dave is a very handsome man.
But until the holidays pass, what are we going to do? And somehow then that translated for me over the last week or so to not just like, well, we can't worry about weight, to let's see how much weight I can gain over 7 days. Let's push the envelope and see what this human form is capable of gaining over this holiday season. And to that degree, I have been a great success. I don't know exactly what the number is, but I look in the mirror and that tells the tale. I'm not a big numbers guy.
The
real
success is confronting Dave's insecurities. You are a very handsome man. You are not fat.
You're an enabler.
Your football team is going to be fine.
Well, let's transition into that. Yes. Are we enabling? See, this is the time of the year.
Oh, somebody's being enabled.
We are recording at about high noon-ish here on the West Coast. It is Black Monday, as they call it.
Yeah.
There are some guys out there, and I understand why. Sean Payton has already gone on the record and said this is not something to – I'm trying to think of how he couched it exactly. It wasn't the man who runs the Senior Bowl also said this shouldn't be treated as entertainment. And I will say, I don't think anybody is here. Anybody who covers pro sports is treating it as entertainment per se. I think, though, that it's fair to point out that the deluded soul who follows sports as a spectator has the right. If they are buying merchandise and or they're buying tickets to games or they're buying satellite packages to make sure that they can watch their team, there is some at least tangential ownership of what's happening. Of course, you don't get to have the good and the bad without – I'm not saying that an angry mob is entitled to declare, we don't want this guy. But, you know, it's kind of the opposite of what's his name in Gladiator? What's his name? Maximus is standing there in the Colosseum like, are you not entertained? You know, like he asks that rhetorically.
And those people, we watch murder all the time.
Why
are you confronting our sensibilities when we're pro murder?
Right. I'm just using that as an example. But the answer is human beings do have the right to say, like, no, we're not entertained. Well, yeah, we're paying and in this case, we're not entertained. We've underachieved. And so are you enabling by retaining coaches, or is stability the answer? Because as we've learned many times in pro football and beyond, consistency in and of itself is not always a good thing.
Consistency is the only measure of accomplishment that we can have.
So
if Nick Foles comes back and wins another Super Bowl, you don't get the same Eli Manning Hall of Fame arguments, right? Because it's about consistency.
Yeah, but like, Twinkies don't taste good, and they consistently don't taste good. So is that a good thing? Some things are consistently bad.
Well, yeah, obviously things are consistently bad.
Well, that's all right. So people always the aspiration. What we want is stability and consistency. Is all right. Depends what you're trying to maintain.
Well, it's just how. When you're running out Ryan Fitzpatrick or some of these other quarterbacks, I believe there was a guy out of Memphis went in the first round, resembled a pirate. He played for the Broncos as well. Brock Osweiler did as well. You just don't know how much consistency you can have in certain circumstances. And to your gladiator analogy, it's pretty apt. Those people are trying to be entertained, but they're also trying to be entertained by something that's morally reprehensible. And so you do have segments of fans that probably cheer injury for opponents. They probably cheer for certain players to not get paid.
But can't we ascribe that to? I know it's easy to say this for my argument.
Some people suck.
Right. Well, that's right. But can't we marginalize that percentage of people that are just gross people, the same people that if you go on social media who announce that you should get fired? I mean, how many times weekly do you receive tweets announcing you don't deserve your job? How do you get paid? Are you drunk?
To
all three of those questions, I always say yes, yes, yes. But that's neither here nor there.
I think what Sean Payton is speaking to is that particular set of people. And if you are not in that particular set of people that's being criticized, you say, oh, all right, Sean Payton's not talking about me. But in some of these instances, a hit dog will holler and somebody will take offense. Oh, I'm not taking pleasure in this. And then, they have to go.
Fair. Yeah, that's right.
Delete several tweets about how somebody should have been fired, 6 weeks into the season or, going back. Let's say they have a particular quarterback that runs the football and plays for the Buffalo Bills, and they don't like when a quarterback runs the football for the Buffalo Bills. And then you fast forward a year, they love it, Dave. They're big fans of it. Mm-hmm. And so in some of these circumstances, some of the people, like that Sean Payton is referencing, they need to be referenced. But, yeah, nobody here is taking joy in the fact that these guys lost their jobs. But we do have to talk about it because it's newsworthy.
Of course, but there is – yes, yes, that is the base. But also there is a requirement for some of us. Some people report as it goes. Some people report on what happened. Other people's charge is to try and make some sense of it. And so that, I think, is what we sit here in Studio 66 yes. today trying to do. We're not merely reporting on it. We're also opining on it and who whether you think it's fair or not deserve. You know, there's another movie for you. Like Clint Eastwood says, deserves got nothing to do with it. In this case, sometimes deserve does have something to do with it. The question is, how can we divine percentage or amount of responsibility for deserving the state of your pro football team?
There's a certain amount of randomness that goes into being successful in the NFL. It could come down to a missed kick. It could come down to five missed kicks. And then at the end of everything, we're supposed to look at it and be like, oh, well, this is the obvious answer. A lot of times there isn't an obvious answer. Sometimes it just doesn't work out. The ball isn't round. And even if the ball was round, we couldn't guarantee an outcome. And so it's just it's not going to work all the time. And people make decisions as though it was supposed to.
Here's a fascinating case for you is John Harbaugh. 6, 7, 8 weeks ago, what it was about 7 weeks ago, he was done. It was announced the Ravens and longtime head coach John Harbaugh will be parting ways. John Harbaugh did something rash. Flacco was a little banged up there. But it did open the door for him to try something different. And he rightly, wisely, when given the opportunity, okay, now we can go back to the alleged franchise guy, number five. He said, no, we can't stop this role we're on with the kid here. And now he's in the playoffs. Perhaps there's something to be gleaned from that.
Yeah, we don't know. The thing is there's an incomplete product. We have no idea. We can't look at the cake. Cake's still in the oven. It's like Schrodinger's cat.
Let's talk a little bit. We'll go back and forth here with what trying to make some sense of things here. Let's go back to the football side of things here. Okay. First and foremost, I feel sad about week 17 because did I mention that I'm a Steelers fan? I did, yeah. So I was bummed out by the way it went, and I am not a fire Mike Tomlin guy. I'm not a fire anybody guy, you know, generally speaking. I'm not at least quick to throw it out. Get rid of him. That'll solve everything. Who are you going to get is always the question. What's on the other side? You're so quick to dump somebody, but what's waiting for? That's good advice for the fellas out there, too, with women and vice versa. Like, I need to move on from this woman. Like, okay, get ready because the great abyss awaits you out there.
From the book Settle by Dave Damaschek.
That's right.
It's not always better.
I thought that the thing that would have turned me into like maybe it's time to move on from Tomlin is if they wouldn't have beaten the Bengals. They barely survived the Bengals, led by Jeff Driscoll, AJ Green out, Tyler Boyd out. There was nothing out there that should have scared the Steelers, and yet they got awful close to blowing it. And if the Browns had pulled it off in Baltimore and the Steelers had lost, I don't know what. But as it is, Lamar Jackson and Baker Mayfield, I wouldn't call it a shootout, but a great head-to-head that we can look forward to at least next year.
Right, and hopefully a lot of these same circumstances, if Lamar Jackson does have a stretch of his career that resembles the past five seasons of Joe Flacco's, he would probably be out of the league. Not all quarterbacks are afforded the same set of circumstances and leniency in terms of their impact on the field. But if we can keep this thing going, that would be great. And it's tough as a Steelers fan, because seven isn't as good as he has been. I don't know how much longer he's going to be there.
Well, that's another story, but I would say that in an alternate universe, the Steelers retired Bruce Arians 5-7 years or so ago. And they announced his retirement. He's right. Like, well, I'm not retiring. I don't know where this news came from, but I'm in fact not retired. Then he went to the Cardinals and turned them into a contender. This is not something that a Steelers organization so rightly proud of its stability over the last half century would ever think about doing. But Bruce Arians would also say, no, I'm not interested. Remember, you retired me a few years ago. But if you really wanted to fix the Pittsburgh Steelers, you could hire Bruce Arians for 2 years and I bet you that he would propel them, but you know,
or you could,
I'm just throwing that out.
If you have a really gifted running back who would like to be compensated fairly, you could compensate him, have him on the field for the last few games. I feel like that would help in a situation where James Conner went hurt, as running backs are wont to do. And you could consider finding a quarterback.
Like who? Are you talking about CJ Anderson?
I'm considering, and the Steelers haven't picked in the top 15 of the draft since God knows when. Mm-hmm. And that's going to take its impact. And so you're kind of a victim of your own success there. But when you have good players, or arguably great players, that you can't reach an agreement with on a contract, you have a quarterback who seems to undermine relationships with offensive coordinators. He has to have a go-between. And granted, Todd Haley, it was a bit of a issue as well in that relationship. So you have the guy who's the go-between now. You've got him calling the plays, and you eke out 16 points against the Cincinnati Bengals. And so there's circumstances that aren't under Mike Tomlin's control, and I don't necessarily know that somebody else is going to fix those. But if you can find somebody that makes Ben Roethlisberger 2008 Ben Roethlisberger, by all means.
I wonder what's going to be now going forward with some of these teams that have just dispatched their head coaches. I think the fascinating figure today is Case Keenum. Because Vikings fans are saying, see, we should have just kept him. We would have been better off. We blew it by spending the $30 million on Kirk Cousins. And at the exact same moment, a mile high, people are saying, well, I mean, you know, how good could they have been? They had Case Keenum as their quarterback to get Vance Joseph off the hook. And I can't really make sense of who's right about that. Can both things be true?
Well, we can certainly find out, right? We can just have everybody in Denver say, hey, let's bring Case Keenum back. Because obviously it was Vance Joseph was the one that was undermining this football team. So bring Case Keenum back next year. And let's see with their shiny, bright new head coach, whoever that's going to be, how successful they're going to be in 2019 with Case Keenum playing quarterback for the Denver Broncos. Let's find out.
Who is, you know what? We brought it out here. We have it here. We'll do it intermittently here. Wait, I can't tell which is which. We got several faces to discuss here. Well, there was. Okay. All right. I'm trying to figure this all out here. I just dropped one of the faces, too. That's going to be a problem. Eddie Spaghetti behind the glass there. By the way, belated Merry Christmas to you, Eddie Spaghetti.
Thank you, Dave. Same too. Well, do you celebrate the holiday now or no? So I know you celebrated Hanukkah before. Okay.
What are you talking about? How long have you known me? Yes, I celebrate Christmas and always have since the day I met you.
I didn't know.
Well before that.
You talk about the menorah a lot, so I wasn't quite 100% sure.
When have you and I ever once? I would like you to sign a single conversation
sitting down
when we
discuss
the menorah. Well, menorahs have never been a subject for you and me.
Yes, it was. Right before we did the show 2 weeks ago. I was sitting over there. We talked about it.
And we talked about a menorah.
You brought it up, yes.
All right.
Anyway, and Merry Christmas to you, Dave. Merry Christmas to you, Patrick.
We had a lot of conversations about menorahs.
It just, the way you say it just stuck in my head.
Don't get Dave going on the menorahs. Loves the festival of lights. Yeah. I like Hanukkah. I also like Christmas. I like them all. It was a good one, though, Spaghetti.
It was good. I was glad to be home in East Coast.
Yes. It ended well for Spaghetti Claibon because Saquon validated all of his
confirmed
his season long. Well, he wavered a little bit here and there, but for the most part, you're now happy with Saquon.
I mean, yeah, it always was. He was fantastic. I hope he does win Rookie of the Year. I think he had a pretty strong Week 17. And the best part was the Giants still lost the game because that would have hurt their draft stock.
Oh, no.
It is an all-time awesome season by a clearly difference-making talent. But how big a difference can a running back make in the 21st century? I continue to be suspicious of it, and it's easy to be on that side. I'm not saying you're taking the easy position. You're a Giants fan. You like to see an electric young guy. But that's as good as opposed to a quarterback that gets progressively better, a cornerback who gets progressively better over a handful of seasons. Running backs don't tend to increase in talent, and the savvy that they pick up outside of pass protection is marginal. That's the best Saquon's going to be, and they won five games. That's the thing.
More than the Cardinals, more than the Jets, who drafted a quarterback.
I know, but the QBs are going to get better on those teams, and they're going and
right,
there go. They should get more.
But the same, the flip side, the Giants will have a better O-line. The Giants will have
you have the perfect guy here to support.
The Giants will have a better potential, hopefully better quarterback.
Claybon's here to support you, though. He's going to tell you because he doesn't like the QB win stat. Even though he and his friend Mina Kimes like to argue that QB wins don't matter, my pushback on that is how many great QBs have been on perennial bad teams.
My favorite Dave narrative is pretending not to understand what we say about.
I don't understand because I don't. I continue to be baffled by it.
He builds this psionic energy box that's just like nah. I can't hear.
Aha! Joke's on you. I don't even know what psionic means. So how about that?
How about it? Ultimately, I don't think the Giants thought Sam Darnold was the quarterback for the future, so they just went with the guy they thought was a better football player. It wasn't about running backs or quarterbacks. They just didn't think Sam Darnold was the guy, and maybe they're wrong.
Maybe they're learning from Tom Coughlin, who down Duval County way.
Old man yells at cloud.
Well, he didn't like the way.
How
Leonard
dare
Fournette
these players sit
himself.
On the bench? They should stand. It should be standing. Why is there a bench?
We
don't have a
vintage
ping pong table.
We have got vintage hot takesmen.
Why is that cloud there?
The Om Takesman is in the house at the perfect time here.
Blake, take this $20 million. Are you guys sitting on a bench? Blake, here's the check, sir. You can cash it in. Why are you on a bench? Out of here. Sorry.
No, listen. That's why, listen, I like it. I like the passion. I'm trying to make some sense of it. I feel like we're kind of bearing the lead. Everybody today is talking about the guys who have been dismissed and who else deserves to be dismissed and who doesn't. Let's talk for a minute about the playoff picture, shall we?
Let's
do something very pigskinny, football-y, so on and so forth. Do you agree with me? Now, complete hard right turn here. Do you agree with me that Todd Gurley's knee, the state of his knee, now that they have won and now they get a bye, so 2 weeks for Gurley to put that bent knee up and with the other foot and relax a little bit. I think that getting that bye is significant. As long as Todd Gurley is ready to go, I say they're Super Bowl bound. How say you?
Going to be tough to go into New Orleans and get a win. My pick would be the Saints, but Todd Gurley definitely helps into the Saquon Barkley argument because I understand the running back doesn't matter argument. I get it. I can see that a quarterback is more valuable, but if running backs don't matter,
no, they definitely matter. I'm not trying to suggest that. Don't you get into your sciatic chamber?
No, but honestly, like, because receivers matter, offensive linemen matters. It matters to have good football players. Mm. And the better football players you have, the more things you can do that the other team can't do.
I like the way the Saints are constructed, especially at running back. Alvin Kamara, week in and week out, is the X factor for me of that team. And I think he, obviously, if you've been watching him the last couple of years, you know why I say that. I think the Saints are obviously going to be tough to beat. They've already taken care of the Rams. I do think, though, that, Gurley's health, it was kind of obscured over the last quarter of the season. We didn't exactly know what was going on. There was something after 54-51, what happened to the Rams? Todd Gurley wasn't right. That's what happened. And I think if he can be right, I think that that will be the difference, and they'll be able to take down the Saints, even in NOLA.
And looking at the way that it's progressed, he leaves a game, he comes back in a game, he's on the sideline riding a bike. I don't know that 2 weeks is going to give him everything he needs to do to quote-unquote get healthy. I think it's going to take a whole offseason for that. But he's still a very good football player, and a lot of guys are dealing with bumps and bruises. And to be perfectly honest, you don't need him against the Cardinals in the 49ers.
That's exactly right. That was the smart move. Hey, Spaghetti, real quick. Tell me, I'm sorry, off the top of my head. I'm trying to figure it out. The Eagles assume the sixth seed. So the Eagles now go into Chicago to play that game. That's a winnable game for Foles and company, I think. But I would I'll take the Bears in that one. How say you?
I would also go with the Bears.
I love that pass rush.
It's tough to bet against Nick, considering what he's done recently, but he takes a big shot to the ribs. He had a horrible pick against Washington that was kind of tough to explain. The guy was coming on a cross that was wide open. But Chicago is just so good, and they're second stringers. What Vic Fangio did to the Vikings yesterday, I mean, they're crushing Cousins with backups. It was like there was no hope, and the Vikings absolutely needed a chance to win to get into the playoffs, and they just stomped on their necks schematically and physically.
Do you buy this business about the mythical most dangerous team no one wants to play? Is that, in fact, whoever emerges from Big D between the Seahawks and the Cowboys? Is that the one nobody wants to see?
I think everybody wants to play somebody in the playoffs. It's like, 'cause that means that you won and you get a chance to go to the Super Bowl. If I'm picking the more favorable matchup of those two teams, I would say that I wouldn't want to play Seattle because
let's play that game. As a matter of fact, right now, Spaghetti, jump in here as well. Which is the better matchup if you are two, and we've covered this, you know, listen, these things always change if you wait long enough. But recent history, which is the last 5 years, every team that has made it to a Super Bowl had a bye. 9-1 seeds, 1-2 seed, and that was the Atlanta Falcons. So obviously the bye is relevant this decade. So who is the team that the number one seeded Saints are hoping to see come to town in the divisional round? Let's look at it from that perspective. Everybody will get swept up in the wild card. What's better for the Saints rolling in? I would say it would be either the Eagles coming in there as the sixth seed, or it would be whoever survives the Cowboys-Seahawks game.
And if it's – I think the Saints would obviously prefer the Eagles. They blew this Eagles team out.
That's right.
Not too long ago.
That's correct.
And I just wonder matchup-wise – how they confront the Bears defense.
It's just weird. Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, when they can devastate the way they can with that pass rush, I don't know how any team really, no one wants to see that pass rush come into town. That's what the Rams have to fear, especially after the way the Bears handled them up in Chicago. Is it for the Rams? Is the train of thought they're not going to have to see the Bears? I mean, if the Bears take down the Eagles, then that is who is coming to Los Angeles. Is the weather that big a difference? Because that's what everybody pointed to watching that game. Oh, Jared Goff is a SoCal boy. He doesn't like the cold weather out there.
I think
that's kind of fair.
When Khalil Mack is smashing you, it doesn't matter if it's 95 degrees or
it may matter. I've talked to enough football guys that they say, like, oh yeah, it hurts way worse when it's cold out.
Yeah, no, I mean, both teams are still playing on the same field. I don't think certain players have, like, genetic cold advantages.
I wouldn't think so either, but I have talked to enough guys. Surely you have, too. I say, well, but you're all from either Florida, Texas, or California at this point, or a gargantuan percentage of you guys are. Why would it make a difference if you play in Chicago? They're like, I don't know. You just get used to it. You get used to it. And if you're coming up there from Atlanta or New Orleans or whatever, you're not as ready for it.
I just think schematically the Bears played really well, and I don't think the Rams are going to have the same game plan because this defense eliminates
That's
certain things.
That's exactly right. See, Sean McVay, is he a genius or is he not, Football America? I say he is, in fact, a genius. That's why they jumped out to the gigantic they were an awesome storyline for the first half of the year, obscured only by Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City. And I think that he, with Todd Gurley being a little banged up and their playoff spot all but secure, Sean Payton didn't have to show everything in the second half of the season. And I think come January, he will unfurl all of his his evil schemes on the NFC. And I think that they are going to the Super Bowl. Spaghetti, how say you?
To the Super Bowl? I mean, my pick, I want to be boring and go kind of chalk. I still think it's going to be the rematch of the game we saw Monday Night Football. Chiefs-Rams.
Well, that wouldn't be boring at all.
Yeah, no.
No.
Imagine if we got that. Imagine if If I could tell you right now, who wouldn't sign that ticket other than the fans of the teams that are also in the playoff mix here? Everybody would want that one, right? You would just say, like, yeah, just give us the rematch of that.
Or the select few, like, curmudgeon NFL, like, old school writers who don't, who love defense and think that game is, it's bad for the NFL to see 50-plus points on
each side.
That
game had all kinds of defense.
Drew Brees, by the way, it did.
There
too.
Were defensive touchdowns, a ton of defensive touchdowns. Yeah.
You, what kind of defense you want? You want picks? You want touchdowns? You want sacks? We got it.
As a matter of fact, we gave out the Shecky Awards last week. Go back and listen to them. As usual, one of the categories was Jenga Piece of the Year, the most important member of his football team that if you removed him, the entire thing would implode, is Tyreek Hill. That's who won it this year, the one the Shecky Award. However, that being said, come playoff time, the X factor of the AFC side, I think, is Justin Houston. How about that? What do you think about them beans? Or if we can expand beyond that, Dee Ford and the rest of the guys, Chris Jones, and if Patrick Mahomes can follow the same recipe that they followed all year long, which is that they jump you early and then turn it over to that pass rush, I think they can certainly still go to the Super Bowl. If they fall behind and a team starts trying to grind them like the Ravens did a few weeks ago, I would be very scared as a Chiefs fan.
My problem with Dee Ford and Chris Jones and Justin Houston is if the guys behind them are running around lost, there's really nothing they can do about it. It's like, how many coverage sacks do these guys have on the season? You count it on one hand. I would assume. And so it's so tough. And so my guy would be Eric Berry. Does Eric Berry
get into shape? Makes sense.
And sort of make things happen? Because a lot of these touchdowns weren't just Orlando Scandrick getting mossed or Fuller getting beat. Sometimes they were just plain old coverage busts. And so if they can shore things up, if they can just make it somewhat difficult for the other team to score, yeah, I think they're going to the Super Bowl.
All right, who do you want? Let's play it AFC side. It's a new game show. Who do you want? Come up with a clever name, MOVP. What's a good name for this? Who do you want? It's like it's like Love Connection, but playoff. I don't know. Wait.
Playoff Love Connection. How about that?
Yeah, okay, pretty good. Yeah, pretty good. You're working.
Playoff
your brain,
connection.
Your brain's working overtime here.
Yeah.
A lot of eggnog for you back home?
Oh, yeah.
You polished off a couple of...
More like rosé for me, but...
You went rosé?
Mm-hmm.
Even in the holiday
and
season?
And some pink champagne.
Ah, the rose.
Oh, classic.
And the champagne.
Mm-hmm. Anywho, let's play it now, the AFC side. So we didn't do the Rams. Who do the Rams most want to see? If they, like, so the Saints most want to see the Eagles. Obviously, that makes sense. Who do the Rams prefer to see coming into the Coliseum? The survivor of... Wait, let me go away. How will that... I'm confusing myself. If you're the two seed as the Rams, if the Bears win, you get the Bears. So do they want the Bears or do they want the Eagles to beat the Bears, in which case they would get the survivor of Seahawks and Cowboys?
Whew.
I'll jump in if you want.
Yeah.
I think the Cowboys, and this is just from watching them because they're always on TV a lot, especially how the Giants looked yesterday versus them without Odell Beckham, is like you got to be really afraid of that secondary, of how Eli and like with Sterling Shepard and Russell Shepard and Cody Latimer were like one-handed catches all over those guys. I think you don't want to play Russell Wilson. Because I just trust Russ in the playoffs. You don't want any
and
part of that.
I'm a big believer.
And Carson has been awesome.
I'm also a big believer in, you're right, I think Spaghetti has gotten the right answer here. Because I think that, I always point to the people, get another shot at them. We want another shot at that team. No, you don't. Generally speaking, if a team beats you once and then they beat you a second time, your third, that's one of those cliches in sports that is completely invalid. Like,
it's hard to beat a team.
Oh, it's hard to beat it. It's hard to beat a team three times in the same season. Yeah. You know, it's harder to lose the first two and then somehow magically overcome what is now a pattern. But the Seahawks have given them a couple of good games. I'd be scared. If I were the Rams, you don't want to see that team.
I don't think you ever want to play a division opponent in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Let's get somebody else.
AFC side, the Chiefs, who do they most wish to see? The chances are, I think this is pretty obvious, the Chargers just went in there and beaten them, or the Ravens, or if you're the Chiefs, do you want the six seed Colts to knock off the Texans, which... I have a bad feeling it's going to happen, too.
I think it's easily the Colts.
You want the Colts coming to town.
Because I've seen Andrew Luck throwing from a lot of clean pockets. Last night he even threw a pick out of a clean pocket. But the one thing that Kansas City can do on defense, that one thing, is rush the passer really well. And I think it changes the dynamic. T.Y. Hilton is hurt. They needed a 4th-and-8 miracle pass from Mahomes against the Ravens. They lost outright at home to the Chargers. Yeah, give me Indianapolis.
I think even, like you say, I'm with you. You don't want to see Phil, old man Rivers, rolling back in there again. The Chargers really could have won way back in week one, for as relevant as that is 4 months later. But obviously, more recently, you saw the Chargers come in there and take care of business without Keenan Allen and without Melvin Gordon. So you would have to be scared if you're a Chiefs fan. That being said, I think the worst one that you could see is the Ravens, because deep down, you know, if you're a Chiefs guy, you're a Chiefs fan, you know what happened there. You got real lucky to survive that Ravens game, and they can come in there, and if Lamar Jackson is coming off of, and by the way, as a side note, Baker Mayfield had a great game for the Browns. He almost pulled off the rally. It was remarkable stuff, but that was a bigger spot for Lamar Jackson to show up in, because he's at home. And again, as we've talked about ad nauseum, he's the one. The Ravens were the team that had the curse of Sposta on their shoulders. They were supposed to win that game. All they had to do was knock off the lowly Browns, and they were on to the playoffs. That's a lot of pressure for the kid, and he came out rolling. He was on the money with just about everything throw he made in the first half there, and was playing loose, was juking guys, was shaming guys out there, professional athletes out there, and making them look slow and clumsy. It was a dynamite performance by Lamar Jackson that so far 24 hours or less has not been celebrated as much as the one by Baker Mayfield.
It's tough because the goalposts always move so much for Lamar Jackson. It's all he can't play quarterback at this level. And it's like, oh, well, they can't sustain. It's like, oh, sustainable. What's sustainable? Kirk Cousins had 45 yards passing in the first half. I don't know if that's sustainable. But anyway, Lamar, he somersaults into the end zone. As he said, he's styling on this Browns defense that was supposed to, well, Greg Williams has the blitzes because people have figured out this option thing. All right, so Lamar's running by himself down the end zone. The only thing that kept him from getting that third rushing touchdown was this phantom holding call on Hayden Hurst. And then there's a fraction of an inch that keeps him from 4 rushing touchdowns on the day. And
so, still, but how about that, though? I mean, I bet the
Drew Brees is good at it,
and
everybody doesn't do it.
Has that now in the second half of the season, the first half of the season was all about Patrick Mahomes and the undefeated Rams and how long can they keep this going? And look at what Drew Brees is doing there. Oh, they're rounding into a contender. But the second half of the season for me has been the demise of, and I'm a Steelers guy, so maybe I'm overstating this, the demise of the Steelers. What the hell happened after they – if I would have told you on Thursday Night Football, when the Steelers are winning 87-0 against the Carolina Panthers, who had been on a roll themselves coming in there, if I would have told you in that moment, oh, hey, by the way, this team's not going to make the playoffs. And oh, by the way, Roethlisberger's not going to get hurt or anything. They're just going to lose to bum teams as they do, and they're just going to miss out on the playoffs. Your jaw would have hit the floor. But the bigger picture is, the officiating has been so bad in the second half of the season. There's no way around it, and it's inexplicable when it's so fixable.
Oh, yeah, we got back there eventually. It's sometimes they're just not good. I mean, sometimes
that's enabling. You talk about enabling.
What?
That's enabling. Well, they're not good. You know, they're human beings and they make mistakes. Yes, but we can fix those mistakes.
Yes.
It's readily available technology.
I've been saying this.
I took some great videos that where I can show it to you in slow-mo of my kids jumping on trampolines. It's great stuff.
But Dave, we
can figure out how to have the officials get video evidence of what's happening before they blow calls and dictate how games end and which teams make the playoffs and which don't.
We got chips in the ball right now. We got chips in the ball. We got a car-sized robot that's been driving around Mars for 7 years.
I know. It's neat.
We still spot the football with chains and eyeballs for no reason. I don't know why we do that. We could fix it. We could fix it in one offseason. And the green light goes up. It's
the
like a
hockey
goal.
That it's not like, well, this would take a committee to figure. No.
No.
No, it wouldn't. And it wouldn't take any time. Here's the craziest thing of all about the pass interference. Why that's not reviewable. It's the biggest by yardage, by far and away the biggest penalty you can drop on a team. I can go, was that close? Did he have a hand? I don't know. Pass interference, not reviewable. Give him 60 yards. What? What just happened here? But the other ones are reviewable? No, it's insane.
I've been captain of the hashtag make it reviewable campaign here. Some people are like, oh, well, it'll take too long. It's like, I'm investing 3 hours into this football game anyway. I would just like to see the outcome of the game determined by the players that play it and not by an official who may be upset that somebody said something to him and then they're mad. And so now they're going to throw a personal foul because somebody taunted and it doesn't fit with how we want football. Just get all that out of there. In basketball, they have no problem making calls based on contact that creates an advantage. So just do that with pass interference, offensive and defensive. Did this guy push a guy? Maybe. Did it give him an unfair advantage? Yeah, throw the flag.
That's right.
It's something that we can all see instantaneously. The replay takes too long. It takes 5 seconds.
That's the problem. The problem is that we can see that they are wrong now. Mm-hmm. You could let it go generations ago because there were a couple of replay reviews. I watch old football games all the time online. I love watching the old games from 1979 and 1986 and whatever. And the difference is that while you can see, I think his foot was kind of on the line there. There are a couple of camera angles. Now there are 6 or 8 different angles on every play. You can see clearly that the guy is wrong, and it is not a 5-minute process to make that realization. It takes if you just have like a guy in New York City or wherever he is or up in the stadium or whatever, just say like, hey Marv, that was actually was PI. Like that's how long it takes.
Let's eliminate the process with
No. He didn't actually make contact with him there. No, so that you should pick up the flag.
Okay, then that's it. That's how long it would take.
If they're worried about time, then let's get rid of this. After review, the ruling on the field, and then we have to talk about, well, it stands, so that means this. So it's like, well, it's confirmed, so that means this. No, let's just have a thing that shows up on the screen, catch, no catch, pass interference, no pass interference. Let's just do that. It's 2018. It's about to be 2019, literally tomorrow. Let's stop with the official announcements. Let's just give us a hand signal.
Getting upset. Now, Eddie Spaghetti, are we right? The Ravens are the worst team, or is it the Chargers?
For the Chiefs, well, I was going to say my kind of hot take is I think the Chiefs would rather play the Patriots than have to play either the Ravens or the Chargers in the AFC title game if it worked out that way.
That's interesting. So the 2 seed is the Patriots, and we see now what they want to do. You know, they're a flawed group by their measure, by their own decade and a half long measure. Now they're not as good, and yet they're completely viable pick in the AFC to get to the Super Bowl. So do they want I think you're right, Spaghetti, about that. Well, I think from the Patriots' point of view, you start us off here, Claybon. Who do the Patriots least want to see and most want to see here?
I think the Patriots least want to see Baltimore.
Or the Chargers or the Texans. If the Texans, if it goes chalk, as you say, it would be the Texans would win and they would go to Foxborough.
Oh, yeah. I definitely don't think that they want to play the Houston Texans. I think
really?
If I'm anybody in the AFC, the team that I want to play is the Patriots, because they had a lot of success against the Dolphins and the Bills and the Jets at the end of the season. The Dolphins and the Bills and the Jets ain't here anymore. Mm-hmm. It's time. And
love that. That's a hot take too. Look at the two of you teaming up on
totally
a hot
agree.
Take.
It's
because the names are Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, and they have that weird flying Elvis on their hat. That's why it's a hot take.
And I was so concerned, Dave, because you know the last thing I want is the Patriots to win another Super Bowl, the literal last thing that I want. And so I was so worried that we were going to look back at the end of the season, and I hate that it happened because I don't want Josh Gordon's career to be over, but I thought we were going to see the Patriots win the Super Bowl, and it was going to be like, we just let them have Josh Gordon. Mm-hmm. We just let him have this player, and he made things work, and he hid a lot of their deficiencies. But there's nowhere left to hide. There is nowhere left to hide.
I hear you.
They got to buy because the division is trash, and it's been trash for a long time, and that's why they have so many division titles. But it's finally over.
Oh, yes.
Praise be to Allah.
You said that a little bit too glibly for the New England-based listener. They don't like that talk, but I will remind you. But did you see what the Dolphins, Jets, and Bills' combined record is against non-AFC opponents? Their records is good. Listen, the Patriots, the thing is with the Patriots, although those teams are good teams, their record. The Patriots have never had to spend 2 seconds considering how to win their division in order to get to the playoffs. Right. By comparison, if you're the Steelers and Ravens, your first order of business is how are we going to get through this mix before we move on to the big tournament? That's the way it goes. If you're in the NFC South, you must calculate, well, this is the way the Falcons do it. And you've seen it. The best example is probably the NFC North with all the big QBs and everything. We have Aaron Rodgers in our division, ergo. That's what the Bears did. The Bears are all about, we got to figure out how to disrupt Aaron Rodgers. We zigged when they zagged. The Patriots have never for once in 15 years had to think, how are we going to get through this division before we start figuring anything else
out? The NFC South comparison works out perfectly because Julio Jones has been in this division forever. It's like, well, all right, so we're going to draft a cornerback. How do we deal with Julio Jones? And these are decisions that other teams are making. Meanwhile, the Jets and the Dolphins and the Bills are like, how do we win football game? Like, that's literally they're at step one, and they've been at step.
They're
one
all bad
for
teams.
A decade.
They've all been bad teams for mostly for. I mean, listen, all right, fine. The Dolphins with Gase in his first year went to the playoffs. The Sanchez Jets went to two title games, so on and so forth. But you get the larger picture, and don't be wise with me, Bills fans, about your playoff run last year that was so.
They don't like that playoff run. That playoff run was bad. It wasn't good. They didn't have the quarterback they wanted. They got their guy now. Congratulations.
But of course, you're gonna win games, because I can say this as a pedigree snob, when you're always drafting in the top 10, you have enough talent to win some games. You're going to win a handful of games over the course of a season. Anyhow, the Patriots, you say the Texans, are they don't want the Texans?
I don't think they want the Texans. They almost like
a team with zero history. They talk about pressure. That team should be that franchise, Bill O'Brien and so on. You know, and by the way, I know Deshaun Watson and company went up there and beat them in, what was that, week 2, week 4, whatever that was in 2017, and they put bad call on Philip Dorsett touchdown, whatever that was.
They had them beat, I believe it was Brandon Cooks.
Brandon Cooks, you're right.
The Patriots unsummarily dumped.
Wait a minute. You mean to tell me there was a big play by the New England Patriots and Philip Dorsett wasn't involved? I find that hard to believe. But okay, yeah, you're right. It was Brandon Cooks. Either way, yes, and they can rush the passer, but they have to be, Belichick will beat Bill O'Brien. I got to believe that that's the way that would go down. But they are built to rush the passer. You just know. I mean, I do not would not need to my shoe collection. I don't know. I could bet my shoe collection on it. I can tell you with certainty I'll still have my shoes after the Patriots defeat the Texans. I just I love Deshaun Watson, too. I love watching him and Nuke Hopkins, but they'll beat them.
If you wore 14, Dave, I would take that bet 100%, but I just don't have the space.
I'm with you. I love the hot take that you and Spaghetti, I'm sorry, was that a humble brag? Does that count as a humble brag, what he just said? That I wear a size 14. I think that's...
Well, it's just...
He's a bigger shooter than... I'm only a 13,
Look who worked in his own humble brag.
That was a humble brag.
Because we're on team anti-Patriots right now.
See, I was... Because it made sense to the... Like, if we wore the same size shoe, because I... Schematically, like, logistically, what am I going to do with a bunch of shoes that don't fit?
I wear a 12. That's not...
I was going to say 10.
I'm not a ham and egger. I don't know what that means. Who am I, Greg Rosenthal all of a sudden?
See, and that was a humble brag, too, because
there was
no need.
Damashek wears a nice size shoe, you know? No one's ever been going around with Dave. Look at how small his shoes are. No one's ever said, MVP.
I wear a 7, just so everyone knows.
Yeah, there we go. We've got everybody. Shoe size is kind of like that.
I'm not going to sit here and in the same episode be called fat and dainty. I'm not going to do it.
No, literally nobody calls you fat.
I heard what
you implored everybody to call you.
I heard what you said, and MVP will be more than happy to talk to you about my huskiness. Right, MVP?
No, not at all. You're looking spelt.
There we go.
I don't like that. I don't like when... See, that's enabling. All right. Now, let's do the other one, though.
Okay.
We did the other one. The Patriots. the Patriots. I'm trying to think. Yeah, they would want... It's got to be the Texans. That would be the matchup they would have to most want there. None of them are really all that great if you're the Pats, though.
Yeah, there's really no good matchup for New England. That's why I think everybody would want them. That's why I think it's over. And I'm celebrating. Perhaps I'm celebrating prematurely, but whatever.
You know, you know what's a weird thing is that Bill Belichick. I don't have the numbers in front of me. I should really look them up if I'm going to invoke this all through January. But the thing about, well, Belichick's such a great coach. If you give him some tape on you, it makes sense that you would say, if he gets another crack at you, he's definitely going to decimate you. The numbers historically suggest that if you get a second shot at Belichick, you're more likely to beat him. I think Andy Reid getting another shot at home. I just don't know. I don't love the curse of Sposta. That would be a lot of pressure. If the Patriots, that's a real thing.
I talk
to football guys all the time, and they completely agree with it. They are like, that is exactly right, that when you are supposed to win a game, it adds a ton of pressure, especially when you get any hint of adversity. The home crowd turns against you. If you're the Chiefs and you're a longtime Chiefs fan, you go to Arrowhead and you're like, oh, we always know, no matter how good we are, always know what happens in January. You know that's going to Mahomes got picked off in the first 7 minutes, now we're down 10-0. Oh, that place will get real bad.
If that happens to a player, if they can't play as well in a certain situation, then they're not as good. And that's just it. If all it takes is a little adversity for you to quit, then you're just not as good of a football player.
Listen, professional athletes have a different level of confidence than Dave Damashek has, and yet they still are human beings and are susceptible to those feelings of pressure that I experience.
I mean, pressure can only do so much when you got a guy.
You love shooting that one down, but that's about momentum and stuff. But when things start going against you, a lot of people get spooked by it.
There could be all the pressure in the world, and it's not going to make Tyreek Hill any slower.
True, but it might make him drop a ball.
Or playing defense well could make him drop a ball.
Yeah, but
or
guess what?
But
that's why sports are great. It's not because Mark Lemke, the light-hitting second baseman of the Atlanta Braves, improbably got some big hits in October. That's a fun Cinderella story. Nick Foles had no pressure. That was a great and marvelous story a year ago, and perhaps we'll see a repeat of it now. But what I really love is when the guy has all the pressure and everybody knows it's on him and everybody in the huddle knows that it's about this guy.
And he's made every play. And he's got 5 Super Bowl rings.
That's
right.
And
the ball's in the air and he just needs to make a play and he drops the football. Because sometimes it just happens.
All right. But you can be coy. I think Eddie Spaghetti and MVP know who's right in this case. Right, MVP? Who's right?
Yep, you're right.
MVP. She's into her eggnog already. You know, she started early.
Tipping it back behind the glass.
Can we get done here? I want to go watch the ball drop. I want to see what Seacrest has to say as the ball goes down. I say it's not a New Year's for MVP without Anderson. Got to have Coop.
New Year's Rockin' Eve.
There's a couple of meanings for behind the glass, and Emma's definitely behind the glass on this one.
I don't even know what that means either.
It's because you drink, and so glasses
I see.
In front. All right.
Hey, did you get a good Christmas present, Claybon?
I did.
What'd you get?
I got a Nest home security camera.
Okay.
And I also got some cool sweaters.
Nice.
Are we
seeing one of them right now?
This was a Christmas sweater.
Look at you. So you go sweater with nothing underneath, huh?
Here's the thing. I put the sweater on to see what it looked like with nothing underneath. And my wife was like, that looks good. And I was like, this is too much V. The V is a little too deep.
That's all right. A
little too much skin. So I went, and she was like, no, trust my judgment. And because I don't really... That's the only fashion opinion I really care about because I'm trying to make moves.
Good for you. That's the right way to think. You can't worry about what the outside world. The only thing that matters is right your significant other. That's precisely right. That's why I can't understand Eddie Spaghetti's lady. You know, she's on the news. You know, she's doing all this stuff. She's like, clean up, would you, fella, with the backwards hat? I saw that too, by the way, Spaghetti, that you did your hair for Bill Burr.
Yeah.
But then you went out around Christmas with your lady.
Festivus,
and you had the
Festivus dinner, yeah.
Then you hat backwards. How's she supposed to feel about that?
What do you mean I had it? No. I did my hair when I went out for, I had a big group Festivus dinner, I did my hair.
And
I did do it. I woke up early today. I'll do it later for the festivities.
Okay. Are there big festivities planned?
Oh, yeah.
You guys, an MVP, you're going out on a twister as well?
Yep.
Twister. Are you going to go out on a twister, Claybon?
We're going to do the parent thing.
That's of course right. That is one of the greatest divisions in society, is when you're in your 20s-ish, or maybe early 30s-ish, you get out, you get excited. Oh, the holiday. Christmas is over. Oh, no, I'm so sad. A whole nother year before Christmas comes around. The youngsters, like Spaghetti and MVP, are over the moon. They're like, over? What are you talking about? We still got New Year's Eve, man. It's the best party of the year. Like, what are you talking? But what is great about the human condition, part of the human condition is that we rationalize that we're on the right side of it. You see? So we look at Eddie Spaghetti and MVP and just go, amateur hour. I don't want to be out there with all the JV anyway, you know? Because I know I'm an expert swinger, you know? I know how to get down.
There's some people that are longtime amateurs, and you kind of wonder. I've never gotten the Times Square thing. I was just informed that.
What a weirdo. What a weirdo move that is.
They don't. You can't go to the bathroom?
No, that's right.
And so you're out there. Stone cold sober, urinating on yourself for 8 hours. All of these people.
It is one of the weirdest acts of related holiday that there could possibly be.
I could firsthand talk about it because unfortunately I didn't do the stand outside of the ball. No. But I went to a place nearby Times Square, and just traveling to a bar near where the ball drops. It was the worst experience of my life because I don't think people noticed that. There's a huge radius of streets blocked off, but they make some streets one way to walk, one way, like one direction, one way, the other direction. So you're looping around the city for like an hour just to get to where you want to go.
Miserable.
And then people line up for a day in advance. It's very terrible. Terrible.
I get it.
It's a tourist thing.
It's a very strange thing. Claybon, let me ask you a question that I've been asking some other people, including I asked this of Adam Carolla recently on Good Sports. Check it out on the Adam Carolla Show, available wherever you find your favorite podcasts. I asked him recently, what do you think? Because, you know, I love my uniforms. I love uniforms. What holiday has the best color scheme? If you turned them all into football team uniforms, what holiday would have the best and which would have the worst color scheme? MVP and Eddie Spaghetti, I'm interested in your thoughts here, too.
I feel like your pick for worst would be Halloween because they would be Cincinnati Bengals.
Incorrect. That's the exact opposite of what my answer would be. It would in fact be Halloween because black and orange is the best color scheme available to man. The fact that the Bengals don't do it properly should not dissuade you from realizing how good black and orange look together. Look at the Orioles. Look at the Giants. Look at Oregon State. There's some good options out there.
My pick for worst would be Valentine's Day.
Red and white, maybe a little pink infused as well.
It's like a weird, and then you get like a silver with glitter in it, and it just doesn't work.
Mm.
And I think it's because it's kind of forced. The holiday itself is kind of forced a little bit, that comes through in the colors.
You and I park our cars in the same garage there. Valentine's Day stinks until they decide, until they announce what this concoction is, that Valentine's Day to express your love. But by the way, fellas, it's on you to do the chocolates and flowers. Where are my flowers? Where's my present? You know? Why is it one-sided? Who decided on that one? It stinks, and I'm onto it, and so are you, Claybon. You're on the right side of history. Spaghetti, MVP, your thoughts.
On Valentine's or the uniforms?
I don't know.
Valentine's, it seems like that's kind of a you situation.
Why?
Because I get gifts from my significant other.
Do you really?
I think Eddie.
Yes.
Jada, you get gifts.
Okay.
Minor gifts, yeah.
What about the color scheme?
I'm trying to do it first by bad uniform. Then I think of like holiday that would match up. Like what's the holiday about, like trees? Isn't that like Arbor Day?
Yeah.
sleep.
Don't get hip on me. You're
I don't know. It's a hard question. How do you get a couple of
anti-Arbor Day takes?
Spaghetti's going like he's one of these people who also, if you ask, like, hey, if I gave you $500, would you go to your school? Would you go to elementary school nude? Well, that sounds different. Go to not to any. I'm saying, when you're in high school and the guy goes, well, I'll give you $500 if you'll go to high school nude, and then the guy finds that in the hypothetical question, like, finds the nuance, like, yeah, I would, but I'd go on a Saturday when no one's there. Ha ha, pay up. That's what Spaghetti's doing right here. Don't play fast and loose. You get the game. You know what, the red, white, and blue, Independence Day.
Okay, so the Giants, that one would be that, I guess, right?
That's right.
Okay.
That's your choice.
I'm fine with that.
MVP?
I'm going Hanukkah. Yellow and blue, am I right?
Yeah, you got it.
I crushed it.
That's nice.
All over it.
Kansas City Royals. The choice of one of the chosen people there, MVP. I think the worst one is? What I was getting to is, people don't really talk about it, but it might be Christmas. Kelly green and bright red, blech. Not good.
Not a fan.
All right, now let's get to this week's edition of the 10-foot pole, the literal 10-foot pole. Of course, everybody so brave about what they will and won't touch with a figurative 10-foot pole. We raise the stakes. Yeah. Ours is a literal one. And I have been contacted by people in the Twittersphere saying, I don't think that doesn't look like it's actually 10 feet. We've measured it out. I think it's 9.5. So
we can get there.
We could go. I guess we could go.
We could go like, we'll put a spire at the end.
Let's start here. There's Old Man Rivers. Old Man Rivers, knock on him and his Hall of Fame candidacy and beyond, is never even been to a Super Bowl. His draft class of Eli and Big Ben have been to multiple Super Bowls. Phil Rivers gets off the career-long schneid, and as a 5 seed, improbably, takes the 2018 Chargers all the way to Super Bowl 53. Will you touch that with a 10-foot pole?
Touching it!
Is that right? You're with me on it. That's it.
Yes.
So absolutely. The path would be they beat the Ravens in Charm City. Then they go they might have to beat the Patriots, or they might have to go back to Arrowhead after the big win a few weeks ago, do it again, and then I guess beat the Patriots to get to the Super Bowl. Whatever the path is, good. We're in agreement there.
It's a 9.5-foot pole.
Next start. Next up here. Joe Flacco, he won a Super Bowl.
Sure.
You know, he didn't just get to a Super Bowl. He won it, and he won the MVP.
Win.
Now it looks like he's out of a job because of Lamar Jackson. Joe Flacco, 2019 starter in week one of 2019. Will you touch that with a 10-foot pole? And if you do touch it, I'd like you to tell me what team he is wearing the uniform of.
Oh, no, I've missed a Kentucky.
You tricked me, you stinker. You didn't touch it.
Here's why. Because I have a theory, Dave.
Yeah.
About Joe Flacco, Lamar Jackson, John Harbaugh, and the way all of this goes.
Okay.
I believe Joe Flacco's hip is a little worse than we thought. And so when we came to that point into the season, Joe Flacco could have played. John Harbaugh and company saw what Lamar was able to do in practice. I'm like, oh, the kid's real. We're going to go with the kid. We're going to go with the kid from here on out. But you know what we need to do? We can't just straight up bench Joe, because that hurts Joe's opportunities in the future in free agency. And we don't want to do that to Joe because Joe still wants to play football. So what we're going to do is say, it's not good right now. And then once he got on the roll, it's like, oh, yeah, the hip's better. But, yeah, we're going to go with Lamar. And so the idea from the outside is, oh, you're getting a healthy Joe Flacco. I don't think we've seen a healthy Joe Flacco since pre-back injury. So somebody might take a chance on him.
Hmm.
Is he going to make it all the way through the preseason and getting in there at 30?
Are you?
Years old?
No, he's not that old. I don't think he's that old. I think he's 30, 31. That's actually, you're probably right. He is probably into his 30s a little bit more than what I'm.
But yeah, I just, even though the poll is
not.
Are you
taking some of Dave's patented reckless speculation here?
Or crazy reckless.
There's no evidence.
This is insanely reckless.
Oh,
I couldn't. Yeah,
all right, I didn't know. I think, you know where he makes sense to me? You do the math. Yeah, is the Denver Broncos. That would be just about right. He could throw those. He 33, Eddie Spaghetti.
33. That was all.
So you were. No, you were. What'd you say? 34? You were spot on. Hey, here's another guy who is playing very well.
There he is.
Nick Foles, inexplicably in my book, because he's not nearly as talented as the guy he's replaced. Nick Foles, where could we go here? Let's do a double whammy here with Nick Foles, as a matter of fact. Nick Foles repeats the feat from a year ago, at least to the degree that he wins one playoff game. He wins one playoff game this year. Will you touch that with a 10-foot pole?
I will do it. I'm touching it.
Really?
Because the pole is 9.5 feet long. I mean, it's a shorter pole. I might not do it.
No,
but
one,
I have,
no one
I have
likes so, your cynicism.
I have so much distance here with a 9.5-foot pole that I can do it. Even though I think the Bears are going to win, I think Nick Foles and Doug Peterson with Darren Sproles, they have something.
You're all over the place.
They have
How about
something.
This one?
The
Nick Foles, let's do the one we just did with Flacco here. Nick Foles is an NFL starting quarterback in week 1, 2019.
No.
No. Where is he?
I think they're able to work something out. And perhaps, even though it doesn't make any sense, right? You're going to have Carson Wentz coming back. Maybe there's going to be multiple Nick Foles statues. And Nick Foles is going to be making $20 million. Right. And Carson Wentz is going to be highly pissed off about it.
Oh,
but yeah,
boy,
he's going to be the starting quarterback. You're going to have a backup making $20 million because this is America, baby.
If we could, I wish we had Carson Wentz's face here, but let's say Carson Wentz is smiling even bigger than Nick Foles is right now if the Eagles lose in the wild card round. That's
got
to be.
Oh, no. He's a team player, Dave.
You think Carson Wentz is enjoying this
this
last month or
Look,
so?
There's a salary cap. Somebody's going to be getting the money from the Eagles, right?
All right.
Carson Wentz doesn't mind if that's his homeboy getting $20 million next year.
We have move over Sam Bradford. Kirk Cousins is now, and until updated otherwise, the face for guys. Just because you can pay them $30 million doesn't mean that they should be paid that kind of loot. Kirk Cousins is the face. I don't even know what the question is here. I just am. It seems like everybody's delighting in knocking down and saying, making that they're doing like, here, watch this one. Like, you don't like that. Because he
got him.
Remember when he did that?
I remember that. And they like beat a Buccaneers.
And then it was like a great, but now Vikings fans are saying, we don't like that.
Yeah. Turned it around on him.
What about Nick Foles to Minnesota? Boy, there's no way out from under this one. Do they turn this around? Do the Vikings a year from now? What's a good question, Spaghetti?
I guess it'll just be playoffs next year.
Playoffs next year, Kirk Cousins.
Touch.
All right, you'll do that. See, you're a positive soul.
Well, yeah, I don't mind that Kirk Cousins got paid. I don't know why people get mad. It's not your money. If you're listening to this, it's not your money. Like, somebody's getting the money. Kirk Cousins
because
played
you bring
on the
us. I'm glad you were able to bring us full circle where we began this episode. Because you're invested as a fan.
It's not your money. The thing
is,
like,
it's not a matter of it's your money. It's your team's money, and your team made a bad decision that will hamper you for the next several years.
Did they make a bad decision? Case Keenum the guy?
I don't. Well, what I know is this, and the simple math is that with Case Keenum, they were a game away from the Super Bowl, and with Kirk Cousins, they didn't make the playoffs. So, you know, math.
Yeah, it's all quarterback. I mean,
I'm just saying that's
is driven,
you know,
by the quarterback. I think a lot of these teams without quarterbacks made a horrible decision. The Ravens were able to trade back into the first round and get Lamar Jackson. I think he would make any of these teams that are looking for a quarterback or need a quarterback, especially if you're in Jacksonville, if you're an old man that's yelling at a cloud or a bench or whatever you want to yell at, if it's a ping pong table. Yeah, you made a mistake. You made a bad choice. But Kirk Cousins, he played on 2 years on the franchise tag. His entire career could have been over, and he could have got $0. He got his money. I'm thankful for it. I'm glad when players get money, and it's not all his fault. He is what he is.
I'm glad in the abstract. I do think $30 million, as that roster is composed, was, in hindsight, not the greatest idea. And I said it at the time. I didn't say it was a great. I said it at the time. So at least I've been consistent on that count.
So,
and I was right about this. Let's look at our regular season ledger here to round it out before the postseason arrives. I was right that Lamar Jackson would be great.
Okay.
And would be a better option than Joe Flacco. I was right about the Rams. Well, whatever. We could go. What do you get any bolder takes come to fruition?
In terms of my season predictions, no. I was wrong on a lot of things. I thought the Patriots would be dead in the water. They go get Josh Gordon. They're able to survive. I thought Lamar would be good. I thought he would be demonstrably better than Josh Allen because watching them play football in college, that was the only possible outcome unless, you know, some alien came and imbued Josh Allen with a different set of abilities. That was really my only hope going into the year was that Lamar would have an opportunity to be successful. And despite the horrible speed option call on 3rd and 5 that almost lost them the game, they've given it to them. And
I thought that was great. But my two biggest swings and misses, the Seahawks and the Bears. I sang 4 months ago, no playoffs for you. It's always good news. If I sing that to you, it increases your chances of going to the playoffs. Those two go. Oh, I also said it about the Colts. How many did I miss? My goodness. I could
the entire playoff field.
Oh, I said the Lions would go. That was a bad one.
Oh, no.
All right. It's enough spaghetti. We get it. I didn't get everything right. Jerk.
What made you believe in the Lions?
I don't know. I don't know what happened there. I don't know why I believed in the Lions. Anyhow, hey, have a happy new year, whether it's watching Anderson Cooper from your couch or out tripping the light fantastic with Swingers, MVP, and Eddie Spaghetti. We'll talk to you later on in the week after the new year, but ready to get you ready for the wild card round and beyond. Until then, great thanks to Patrick Claibon. Great work. By the way, go back, the Shecky Awards, the 23rd-ish annual, still out there for your consumption. Great work by MVP and company on those. And it would really hurt her feelings if you didn't watch and listen to them. So go do that. Talk to you later in the week. Until then, it's been a thin slice of heaven.